We're very happy to welcome from SheridanHoops.com, Chris Sheridan, joining us here on the Damon Bruce Show. Thanks so much, Chris. Huge fan of your work. The Warriors finally lose. Who should we direct the outrage at? I mean, come on. Someone needs to fire it. Head needs to roll, obviously. Break this team up. It's not working anymore.
Yeah, well put, Damon. You know, watching them and playing double overtime against Boston the previous night, I was saying to myself, man, that's going to be a tough one tomorrow. I don't care if they're playing the Sixers. They're going to be dead on their heels. And, you know, especially with Clay having the sprained ankle, they were ripe to be picked off. Last game of a six-game road trip, Milwaukee looked like they were running a layup line. And Clay had nothing in his legs. Even Steph, you know, wasn't shooting the ball with anywhere near the accuracy or the efficiency that he usually does. And you know, that's what happens at the end of a six-game road trip when you're playing the second night of a back-to-back after a double overtime game. So I know they were favored to win the game, and they're number one in the NBA against the spread for a reason. That's why the line opened at 6.5, and it was 8.5 by the time the ball tipped off. But Golden State just didn't have any gas left in the tank at the last stop of that trip. So the Warriors get their revenge Friday night when Milwaukee comes in. I like the Dubs by about 47 in that game.
Yeah, it's going to be a reckoning for the Bucks, but I don't deny the Milwaukee Bucks celebrating that either. I mean, that's the closest Milwaukee's getting to a real big special basketball moment for their fans in quite some time, and the Bucks kind of have this historical panache to ending big streaks. They really do. So that's kind of what the Bucks do, and that's probably the crescendo, the peak of their entire season right there. The only thing that bothers me and the only aspect of the streak I'm glad is over is some of the Warrior fans that are getting a little too high in their saddle, like they've been up so long they forgot what being down feels like. You know, like, come on, this is still very much nouveau riche money. You're not the Rockefellers of the NBA, but you're absolutely the booming tech world that, you know, drives the economy right now. This is the best show, and that maybe is the best 25-game stretch of basketball we've seen in our lives. Yes,
oh, absolutely. And look, Golden State fans got a right to feel high and mighty right now because they are high and mighty. Look, they're the defending NBA champs. They got the reigning MVP who's playing out of his mind so much, you know, better than he did in the MVP season last year. Draymond Green, I think, you know, people have talked about Steph Curry being in the mix for most improved. And certainly his numbers bear that out. But when you look at what Draymond Green has become as a ball player, I'm not going to go and call him the best small forward in the Western Conference because Kevin Durant plays in that conference as well. But right. I was just looking at his numbers and comparing him to LeBron James because LeBron James is the best small forward in the game. You know, Draymond Green is averaging more rebounds, more assists, shooting better from the field, shooting better from 3-point. Than LeBron James. Yeah, that's a mouthful of a sentence right there. You know, he's only scoring 13 points a game, but he's got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson on his team. But for a guy at that position to be averaging more rebounds, more assists, and shooting better from both two and three than LeBron James, that's a heck of a ball player. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Draymond Green and Stephon Curry are 1 and 2 in the most improved player balloting at the end of the season if Golden State can certainly keep this up.
Has a guy ever repeated his MVP and been named comeback player of the year in the same year?
No, it's never happened. You know, most improved is usually you're looking at a guy like maybe CJ McCollum up in Portland, a guy who didn't really play last year, and then they broke up the team, and now he's getting an opportunity and he's putting up 18, 20 points a game. You know, that's the kind of guy that's sort of your usual most improved player candidate. But look, if Steph Curry goes from having an NBA record of 286 three-pointers to making somewhere north of 400, and he's making them in the high 40s or 50%, and he's scoring 6-7 points more a game than he did last year, that's quantifiable improvement. And He can be in the most improved discussion, just like he's, you know, dominating the most the MVP discussion, just because the confidence and the level of his game is so much higher than it was last year when he already was the MVP. It's almost astounding to watch.
Chris Sheridan, Sheridan Hoops, joining us here on the Damon Bruce Show. I was reading an article you had on your website. I think Chris Bernuka. All right. Good stuff by him. It was all about mediocrity, parity, which is, you know, a question I think every sports team and league turns around and asks itself every couple of years. And he basically went on and said, look, you know, the number of both very good teams and the very bad teams is dwindled, which, you know, populates the middle with a whole bunch of trying to get better, preventing from getting worse, parity, mediocrity, depending on your viewpoint. To me, it comes down to talent level and coachability. And I think that the overall talent level and the knowledge of coaching in the NBA right now is as good as it's been in my lifetime. I mean, it really, really is. There's a lot of young guys who are ready to take the torch that's being passed to a new generation of talent. We're watching it. The Warriors at the front of it, obviously. I'm going to say parity, not mediocrity. Am I right?
I'm kind of more on the mediocrity side.
Okay.
Why? I mean, look, I've been watching the Warriors as much as anybody, and I watch the Cavs, and I watch the Spurs, and then if none of those three teams are playing, then, you know, I make a pot of coffee and I watch somebody else just to make sure I can stay awake. There's not a lot of teams out there that are, you know, that are like, oh, wait, I really want to see these guys play tonight. You had a little of that at the beginning of the year with Oklahoma City just because Durant was coming back and you wanted to see how they could play together, Westbrook and Durant, you know, having Enes Kanter in the middle. But they're bringing Enes off the bench, and they've still got a guy in the starting lineups who scores 0 points a game in Roberson. They always got a Cephalosha type of guy like that. Oklahoma City is – I like watching Russell as much as I like watching anybody in the league who doesn't play for Golden State, but they've been kind of overwhelming. They've put things together a little bit more lately. They won five in a row, but they were just a little north of 500 a week and a half ago, and you know, that's a team that you look at before the season. You're like, okay, I'm gonna watch a lot of Thunder games, or you know, the Clippers are another one with all the talent the Clippers added. You know, with Paul Pierce, especially, who hasn't been doing anything. But that, you know, that was the knock on the Clips last year. They didn't have enough depth. Well, they went out and addressed their depth problem, but they're no fun to watch. You watch Clipper games and you watch DeAndre Jordan shoot foul shots until they're able to get him out of the game. You know, they're only four games over 500. There's no team that's really captured the imagination outside of Golden State. No one has really even come close. San Antonio is probably, you know, They're second fiddle in the West, but they're a very quiet second fiddle. Even when they go and beat the Atlanta Hawks by 35, 40 points, and it doesn't seem like a lot of people are taking notice. And a lot of the Damon is just that there's been so much focus on Golden State,
right? No, I mean,
and rightfully so.
Right.
But you imagine there would be a secondary team that would step up and jump into the spotlight once the Golden State streak came to an end, and I don't necessarily see that team out there at this juncture in the season.
Chris, do you think Luke Walton should coach the All-Star team?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, you know, even if Steve Kerr gets the nod, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Steve say, you know, my back's kind of bothering me today. I'm going to have to stay in the back and let Luke have the spotlight, because, you know, starting the season 24-0, come on. You deserve to coach. You know, you deserve to play in the All-Star game. If they won't let him coach it, I mean, you know, I know Luke can still play a little bit of ball. He's put on a few pounds, but you know, he did play in the league. I'm totally with you on that one, Damon. Luke Walton should coach the Western Conference All-Stars.
Here's how difficult it is to set this record, and you know, I've been using the outrageous number. It was to be cute early, and then when I saw the season, I'm sticking to it. I think the Warriors 75-7 is out there until it's not. I think they can win 75 games this year. But here's how crazy it is. All the Warriors need to do is go 49-8 the rest of the way. That sounds like an impossibility based on what we know in basketball physics and logic. This team still, with that start, has got to go 49-8 the rest of the way to be the record holder. That's, I mean, just one, you know, take a bow, Michael Jordan and your Bulls team.
Well, right, but they, you know, Damon, they still got to do it, right? And look, they don't get a taste of San Antonio until January 25th. And I think they got two of their last three games are against San Antonio, or it's two of their last four games.
Yeah, two of the last four, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, those are going to be wars, and you don't know how close San Antonio is going to be. Look, Golden State's had a couple hiccups. They, you know, they were one Brook Lopez bunny away from losing to the Brooklyn Nets, one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference. They're going to have their off nights. They're going to have their share of injuries. They're obviously dealing with a couple right now with Harrison and with Clay. I'm with you. I think they're going to break the record, and I've been saying that since the first maybe 2 weeks into the season, just watching at the level that they were playing and the level that Steph was playing. I'm like, you know what? This team is not only are they more fun to watch than the 96 Bulls were, because I covered that team and I covered that record-breaking win when the Bulls did it in Milwaukee, of all places. But, you know, if you watch that Bulls team, and they had Rodman and they had Pippen and they had Jordan, and Jordan was great, but you spent a lot of time watching Michael Jordan shoot free throws when you were watching that great Bulls team. Michael got whistles like no player in the NBA gets whistles in this day and age.
Right. I mean,
it's not that close. If you breathed on the guy, he was going for the line.
Oh, come on.
They won 72 games, but they didn't play a brand of basketball that's anything like this Golden State brand of basketball, where they're just pumping in threes and they're playing at a different speed and a different efficiency level and a different confidence level. I've never seen a team like this ever.
No,
and I've been covering the NBA for 25 years. And they're as astounding to watch as they are fun to watch. And they're much more fun to watch than that Chicago Bulls team was in 1996.
No, this team appeals aesthetically to the math dorks. They really check all the boxes they do. And, you know, the old joke about Michael Jordan, Chris, I met him once in the airport, shook his hand, was called from the foul, and ejected from my gate. So thanks very much, man. I love your work. Keep up the great stuff. SheridanHoops.com. Chris Sheridan here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Damon. I appreciate the kind words.